is the Pedestrian Podcast.
I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We're going to go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
The official podcast of the UK Seahawkers.
We are going to follow you. Gotcha, you lead us, gotcha, okay? Like I told you before, you lead us to darkness, we will follow you.
Here are your hosts, Stuart Court.
I'm probably wrong. I am wrong on a hell of a lot of things.
And Adam Nathan.
And I think if that's the philosophy you have going into every game, more often than not, if you score more points, you'll win.
Go Hawks.
Started in 1981 when my husband Michael, myself and our son Gavin, who was then 19, went on a 5-week trip to the States because basically it would be the last time we'd have a family holiday together. And that's when we landed at Washington DC and started watching television at night, and that was when we started watching American football. And that was it. For 5 solid weeks, we did nothing but watch American football. Everywhere we went, everywhere we stopped over. We went from Washington, D.C., down through Chicago and Pittsburgh, up on the border with Canada, landing in a place called Seattle. Loved the city, loved the place to pieces, absolutely adored it. I personally thought the Seahawks looked wonderful in their strip.
And still do,
I might say. And, you know, my husband was just taken away with the tactics of the game. Never seen anything. It just blew their minds, basically. So the germs beginning to settle. When we left there, and we travelled all the way down that coast, stopping off in various places, and everywhere we stopped, it was television every single night. I mean, what a way to see them. But it was the game. And that was it. That was the start of a love affair. Today, I've been blown away by seeing how far that love affair has come. It just is blowing me away, and I just wish Michael, who started it, was here to see it. So I'm just astounding. I'm his dog's body. I did all the typing, all the background work.
So if Michael was here, what do you think he'd make of the scene there today?
I don't know. I think for the first time ever in his life, he'd be speechless. I don't think he'd know what to say, and I'm quite certain because he could act the tough guy at times when he wanted to, when he needed to, maybe, with me and with Dick and with Kevin. But, no, he was a softie at heart, and I honestly think there would have been some tears today. There's been a few with me, but I managed to do it when you've all gone. I think he did that in front of me. But it is such a... I can't tell you what it means, to be honest. I mean, you know, we really sort of gaffed our way through the whole thing. Because when we get back, he says to me, I want to start a club. I want to do a supporters club for a football team. It's got to be Seattle because they're the underdogs. And we love underdogs. You never see them. You never hear from them. Everybody's talking about the Skins in the city. Because then the Channel 4 started doing it in 1982. And once that started, you know, I mean, the first thing I knew, really thought about it, was that I got stopped going to St. Ives one day by a young guy in a car who pulled up and said, "Are you the American football lady?" And I said, "Well, I could be. Can I come and talk to you and your husband?" He said, "I've got nobody to talk to about it. I mean, both be counted." So I said, "Well, of course you can." So we cut, believe it or not, every single night. And all he wanted to do was talk about the Seahawks and the Redskins and the football and the game and how the tactics went. And in the end, you know, he was there so long, sometimes he fell asleep in the settee. And I thought, have I got home from home for babes? It was just totally surreal. And I suppose then it was a long haul, because once that started showing, Shep then said to me, "Right, we've got to get a club started, because I'm sure now there'll be some interest." And his idea then was to write to the Seahawks themselves, ask them if they would pass on our interest to become affiliated with their Seahawkers to the leader of their group in Seattle. And that's where Dorothy Nelson came into our lives. So we had Dorothy and Cliff Nelson, and then we had Ray and Kiki, the two other people that we knew quite well out. And but Dorothy was an absolute mine of help. She was so excited at the thought that somebody in Britain wanted to support their club. She did so much for us, I tell you. We'd never have got off the ground without her, not in those days with no gizmos to get in touch with people. But because it took a long while, because she would start sending us newspaper cuttings, and then those newspaper cuttings would come, and then we only had about 10 members. We would start doing a newsletter for them because they were just avid for news all the time. And that's what started. So they started then, came across all the newspaper cuttings. And anyway, he got this Amstrad purely for this. And he used to stand next to me and dictate while I typed. And when everything was run off, was taken off, you know, he would then take that back to Birmingham where he worked. And he'd run off the numbers of copies he then needed to distribute to the members. Because it was now 3 or 4 days, 5 days after I'd... Oh, maybe a week, 10 days after I'd got the newspaper cut. So it was all sort of, you know, very in the past, which was quite surreal again. Gradually found that the people we were sending those to were talking to other people, and people were saying, well, where'd you get this club? And that set, it was literally word of mouth, or me, because I could talk, just talking to anybody who asked a word of interest. What did you do in America watching American football? Have you ever seen America? It's all wonderful. And so that's basically, you know.
So when you started off, obviously, there was no social media, there was no internet, because now it's 3 clicks, we know what the coach said 5 minutes ago. Yeah. So how more was the group circulation?
Again, you see, we are great blaggers. We blagged our way through life. I'm a Londoner. I was born in London Markets, and you can blag your way through anything in London Markets. We were asked in America, this was in 1984 then, when we were just beginning to, and they'd heard what we were doing. And we were asked, how many members have you actually got now? Little did they know, we had Chef, me, Gavin and my dad. Four.
Okay.
That was how it took, it was that long to get four. And then the chap who stopped me on Stennett, he said, I'll join your club. I said, but you support the Redskins. Yeah, but I want to support your club because you talked about football. And if you don't mind, I'll support the Seahawks. I said, oh, but I still support the Redskins. I said, I don't care, but you've got to support the Seahawks as well. And then he started talking. But it was very slow, because remarkably slow, because nobody really were interested in the 80s in America.
So you had half a dozen at most, and now there are over 3,000 members on.
Well, how does that blow your mind? When you think about that, that's 35 years ago, right? I mean, we were young then, Gavin was very young, and now, God, I can't believe, and Gavin sort of said, and you said again today, I've had it happen. Me, Chet, my dad, and Gavin. What?
And these sort of get-togethers are happening all over the country.
I just find it... No, I don't think I, with my vocabulary, have got the words to put into the absolute amazement that this has given me today. And the pleasure and the fun I've had meeting such... Bloody not... Sorry, am I allowed to say? Such very nice... Such very nice people. And, you know, I just, all day, I mean, I've been on the verge of tears most times, because I keep thinking of Shep, and thinking, what would he have made of this? He would have said to me, what? How did this happen? Because when we stopped, we sort of said, we had about, I suppose, 20 maybe by the end of when we started, to when we stopped, and I can't remember the year we stopped being in charge. But he sent the newsletters out that last time, and sort of said, sorry guys, but we're no longer able to, would anybody like to take it over? And we didn't hear very much back in Shepton. I think that's it. And then we heard that one guy taking it over, and he was starting it, or I can't remember who it was.
I think the current incarnation started in a pub somewhere in England. It was about half dozen, and that's what
from that to this. Yeah. But do you see what it is today? I mean, Shep was saying, and Gavin was saying to me, you know, I mean, you'll meet the president. And I said, president? What's that about? I said, there was just us. I said, where did that come from? He said, Mum, it's the gizmos.
What's going on, guys? This is Michael Robinson, and you're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast.
Well, in 2004, we went out, Jeff and I alone this time, for another 5 weeks, purely because we've now set up a really good liaison with the Seahawkers. And they wanted us to meet them on the day of the game between them, the Seahawks and the Raiders. So they asked if we could meet them at the Hyatt Regency in Los Angeles. So we took our travels and shipped it back into the schedule so that we got to the Hyatt Regency the day before the game, and they were going to travel down, they were flying 1,500 miles down that coast. And then when we got there, first thing, they weren't bad in the ride. So Shep said, let's book in. And he said, and then we can always come ask the guy to let us know when they're here. So we went to book in, and I think we just went up to the desk and said, could we, is it possible to have a room for the night? Yes. He said, well, we do have one. He said, where are you from? I said, no, we're British. Oh, that's okay. He said, you can go on the fourth floor. He said, only we can't let anybody else up there. He said, because that's where the team are staying. Can you imagine me? I was just about to say something, Shep went, behind my bed. I went, oh, no, yes, that's fine. We got him down in the same closet. Can you use me? So anyway, we went up in the lift, got out on the fourth floor, and I met with this biggest man I've ever seen in my life. And he was one of the, what they call them, bouncers, get them out of here, you know, they're not allowed on this floor. And there was five of them, all sitting outside various doors, in between the doors, you know, to stop anyone getting up there. And he just said to us, no, sorry guys, you've got to get out. He said, this floor's restricted, only us. So Shep said, well, he said, this is our room. He said, oh, where are you guys from? So Shep said, oh, we're British. Oh, he said, that's okay then, he said, because these are the guys, he said, from, you probably never heard of them, called Seahawks. Shep said, no, he said, what's that? Baseball or something. So we're both blagging our way through this. Got into our room and we literally, in our fortress, we're going, yeah. Until we tell the girls downstairs. And then, of course, you know, we had the call to say the girls have arrived, the club, you know, went down, and first time we'd met any of them. So from getting in touch with them by letter, that was the first. And Dorothy Nelson was a big lady. Very good lady, more than one way, a boomy voice. And her husband was a little tiny stitch. Yeah, she just found him out every time he went to speech. She said, oh, shut up, Dick, I've got to talk to this lady. God, don't mess with her, don't mess with her. So that was basically it, you know. So we went down, met them, and had some to eat with them. I thought, well, I'll have a sandwich because I was so excited I couldn't really eat. And I thought, I'll have a sandwich and call it a club. And then the lift doors open. And these wonderful men came out. These were my Seahawks.
And was Mr. Easley there by any chance?
He came over to me because he'd seen Dorothy because they know him. And Dorothy had said that we were coming to tell you that we were going to meet him later in the week and get our affiliation documents. And he came straight over and he started talking to me and he took my hand and I lost it. I just great big light sort of came and told my God. And he was a giant man. And we got talking and I was asking him questions and he was telling me him. And then I went a bit quiet because I was in awe of him. And he said, man, can you keep talking? He said, I just love that. And he called two of his mates over and he said, come listen to her talk. Come and listen to her. He said, why can't we talk like this? It was so funny.
So do you have any memories of going to the kingdom? Obviously, it's not there anymore.
No, I never got there because that was the 1981. When we went in 84, we sat outside there. I never saw a game there. Because the game that we went to after the fire, and we went the next day to the game, was the 9th of January game that year. Vegas.
At the Coliseum.
500 Seahawkers, 91,500 Vegas. wonderful odds. Wonderful odds. And I did get it, because when the coach arrived to take us all from the fire, it was driven by quite a short little lady. She looked quite innocent. And I thought, oh, that's all right, it's not as bad as they say it is in this place, because the Raiders didn't have a very good reputation. Mm-hmm. So before we left, she said, right, guys, I'm going to take you to the Coliseum, and I'll give you your instructions when we get there. So we go off, we go down to the Coliseum, and before showing the stage, she stands up. And when she stands up, she's got this big truncheon, and then I could see a host poking out. So I thought, oh, what's this? So he said, now listen up, you go out of this coach, you walk across the concourse, you get through that gate, you go down to your seat and you don't move. You don't move till the end of the game. And when the end of the game comes, you move pretty bloody quick. Because if they win or lose, they're going to kill you. 2 o'clock again. So, I mean, I did. I could outrun anybody there. So I outran everybody. I was first one to get to the home. And she said, right, well, you're quick. And I'm quick. Oh, God, it was so scary.
So do you still follow the team now?
I love it. I get my information now from whoever's got Gizmo, which is mainly my son. You've sent me a ring me up. I mean, he keeps me in touch with it. And apparently, I think he went on, I don't know, he told me he went on once, one of these books. Kenny Easley was on there talking. So he then went back and got in touch with him. And he said, I don't know whether you remember us. He said, but we were there in the 1984, you know. And bless him. He said he remembered my mom. I said, well, you tell him I remember him.
And next year, it looks like you might be going in the Hall of Fame.
And you're just waiting for your invitation, I would guess. Yes.
Hall of Fame. Well, if he doesn't get it, it's going to be hell. No, he was and still is. And, I mean, he would be. But, I mean, they don't treat their athletes very well. He was just filled with drugs to keep him on his legs. Yeah. And it's had the most horrendous effect on him. And, you know, I feel so sad. And I heard once, it was one of the newspaper cuttings that Dorothy sent us back then, and it was about the Easleys, the family, and about the bad and how the neighbours they had living in this white community didn't want them in there, and how that was reacting on his game. Mm-hmm. I wrote to him via the Seahawks, and I said, look, don't put up with it. You come and stay with us. I was so heartbroken. I don't need you to know. You know, I mean, there was a lot of it goes on in those days, because, I mean, that, and, you know, so I did, I felt really sorry for him. I did that, and that's it. I never saw him.
So it's the next year he's in the Hall of Fame. You'll be on the first flight out to Canton.
Yeah? If I'm still alive, I would love to.
Yeah.
I'd
just like to thank you for taking the time and sharing some stories. Oh, it's amazing. Really interesting.
I would like to thank you, especially you two. Mama Hawk.
Yeah.
That's what we said. Mama UK Hawk. It's perfect.
I'm going to tell it. I've had the most wonderful day today. Thank you all for inviting me, and I just can't.